John chapter 1 and verse 12 tells us, Jesus himself said it, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. We need to realize that for every born-again Christian, we've become the children of God. That's who we are. It is the Holy Spirit inside of us when we are born again that makes us the children of God, that empowers us to live this life as a new creation in Christ. We're not the same old person. You see, we have an old nature that we got from Adam, but we also have a new nature that we got from Jesus when we are born again. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says that we have to put off that old man, that old nature, and we have to put on the new nature. See, you can still live the same old way if you want to, but why would you? No, we're free so that we can live in that new nature that God has given to each and every one of us. And when we allow the Holy Spirit to live in us and to lead and guide our lives, then we see the fruit of the Spirit in our life. He produces this fruit in our life. It's Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That fruit of the Spirit, you see, that happens in our life as we become a spiritual person and we daily choose to allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. We allow Jesus to live in us in the person of the Holy Spirit. And here, I want you to hear this now. The fruit of the Spirit in your life, those qualities, you see, those are characteristics of God. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. That is the litmus test of whether or not you are a spiritual person. Now see, sometimes, you know, we can be all religious and we would like for it to be about, well, I've done this and I've done that and, you know, I don't do that and so I'm spiritual. No, this is the spiritual litmus test whether or not this fruit is evident in your life. Because if the Holy Spirit is really in control of your life, this is going to be produced in your life. It's not what great gifts we have. Right. Well, some people like to make it, well, about the gifts of the Spirit. Listen, you could look at the Corinthian church and you can see they had the gifts, but they weren't very spiritual. In fact, Paul says, I couldn't write to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, babes in Christ. They weren't spiritual. Some people like to make it about Bible knowledge. Oh, they got degrees in the Bible. Nope, that's not it either. It's all about this, that you have the fruit of the Spirit in your life. That is what the Spirit produces. That is the evidence that God really is in control in your life. Today, we're going to look at kindness. One way you could describe kindness is just as being nice. One Christian trying to justify being mean to somebody said, well, I got to be kind, but I don't have to be nice. I don't even know how that works, but here's what I do know. If you're not being kind, if you're not being nice, you're not being Christ-like. You're not allowing the Holy Spirit to be in control in your life. Part of being kind is being nice, but kindness goes a step further. It involves action. It's more than just compassion, it's action. It has some kind of expression. It can be expressed in our words or our actions or even our countenance and our demeanor, but it has to be expressed in some way. We need to ask ourselves this morning, would others describe us as kind? This fruit should be evident in our life. You know, the Lord is so very kind to us. And we are His children, partakers of His divine nature. That's who we're supposed to be. Our Lord is often accused and maligned as being harsh and even cruel sometimes. But those who say such things don't really know Him. They don't know the God of the Bible because he is loving and kind. In Psalm 117, I'm going to read a whole chapter. Are you prepared for that this morning? Well, let me comfort you with these words. It's the shortest chapter in the Bible. It's also the middle chapter of the Bible, Psalm 117. It says, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord." There it is, right? In the middle chapter, in the middle of that chapter, his kindness is great toward us. Amen. That's who our God is. You know, many times in the Old Testament, the word for kindness is translated as loving kindness. And you see that in Psalm 63 and verse 3. It says, "Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you." Your loving kindness is better than life. Has he been that good to you? Oh, that's who he is. That's who he is. Some of the modern translations have done away with loving kindness, and they simply translate it as love, but I got to tell you, they're taking a shortcut there, because the word that is loving kindness is a totally different word than the other word that's translated as love in the Old Testament. And we need to get this expression. You see, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 and 4 that love is kind. This is an expression of love, but it has to be shown in some way. Kindness is how you treat people. The Lord Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." He showed us the Father. He modeled kindness for us. I don't know if you've ever really thought about it this way, but it's kindness when he healed someone. I mean, when you or your loved one has been seriously ill and God heals them, oh, what kindness that is to us. It was in kindness that he healed the demoniac, or that he set free the demoniac. You see, it was in kindness that he fed the 5,000. Why, at the wedding in Cana of Galilee, would Jesus turn the water into wine? What great spiritual significance is there of this? Nothing except it was kindness. Right. Tell you, that's who Jesus is. Kind. He has not changed. He is still so very kind. We experience that kindness every day, whether we know it or not. And he asks us to be kind. Spiritual people are kind. In the 1940s, there was a study done of 43 American cities to name the kindest U.S. city. And then they did a more recent study in 1990 and 92. And again, the same city was chosen to be the kindest city in the United States. Rochester, New York. The interesting thing is that these two studies were done 50 years apart. And what they did is they would have somebody walking along the street drop something and see if people would step in to help. Or they would have somebody that had some obvious need that they needed somebody to help them with right then at that moment, and people would step in to help. And both times they said that Rochester, New York was the kindest city in America. One reporter got a hold of this, and he started researching, trying to figure out what was different about Rochester, New York. And he had to go back, all the way back to the 1830s. In the 1830s, Charles Finney, great fireball preacher, preached a revival in Rochester, New York for 6 months. And hundreds of people were born again in this revival. And listen, he wasn't the kind of preacher who just said, "Well, just pray this prayer." No, he was the kind of preacher that told people they had to get right with God. They had to turn their lives over to God. They weren't the same old people anymore. Amen. And I don't know that Rochester, New York is a spiritual place, but amazingly, somehow, that revival still impacts that culture even into the 90s.
Hallelujah.
Amazing. Now, we don't need a revival of 1830s. We need a revival of the 2021. But let me tell you something, a revival will change a church, it'll change a nation, because it changes people. We want to change a culture. How are you going to change a culture? By getting people born again. I'm telling you, the gospel has the power to change a nation, because it can change a culture, because it changes lives. Politics don't change culture. The church with the gospel, that's how you change the culture. That's how you impact lives. We need to get people born again. And you know what? When people become spiritual, you know one of the things that changes? They stop being mean, they start being kind. Kindness. Jesus said in Luke 6:35, love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. That's who He is. He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. And sometimes in our ignorant arrogance and judgmental attitudes, we don't even like it that God is that way. Sometimes we want to be like James and John when they said, let us call down fire on them, Lord. And Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of. That's the wrong spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit. He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. And it's a good thing. Because whether we want to own it or not, that includes us. All of us at one time were the enemies of God. All of us, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't deserve it. But what kindness He has shown to us to rescue us, to save us. Jesus, the perfect example always. He's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's praying, not my will, but your will be done. He knows what is about to happen, that He will be taken and tortured and ultimately crucified on a cross. And then they come to take Him. They come with clubs and swords, the Bible says. Peter steps up with his sword, takes a swing. All he got was an ear. I guess he was a better fisherman than swordsman, right? But he cuts a man's ear off. It was Malchus, the servant of the high priest. And here's Malchus, ear gone. And that day, in that culture, that time, a man with a deformity could not go into the temple. He certainly couldn't continue to serve as the high priest's servant. These are Jesus' enemies, as it were. They have come to take Him by force, and He knows what is about to happen. What does Jesus do? He takes the man's ear and He puts it back on. This evil, wicked man, Jesus puts his ear back on. What kindness to show to an enemy. This is our Savior. He's done more than that for all of us. How kind He is. And when we allow His Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, we are not just kind to those who deserve it, we are kind to everyone. I realize that we need long-suffering to be able to do that. We talked about long-suffering last week. But you see, if we're going to be kind to everyone, we have to be able to walk in forgiveness. We have to be able to forbear the faults and flaws of other people. Otherwise, we'll never be kind to them. But the Holy Spirit will cause us to think of others and to treat them the way we would want to be treated. Show kindness to everyone. We need to put away the judgmental attitudes where we decide who's worthy, who's deserving of our kindness, and just be kind to everyone. Back in the 50s, as a young man, he goes on a car lot looking at the new cars. And he is wearing these overalls and got muddy boots on and his hair sticking out from underneath the hunting cap. And the salespeople are looking at this guy, watching him and kind of laughing and joking about him being a country bumpkin. And finally, the sales manager, he tells one of the salesmen, he says, go out there and get rid of that guy. Well, the salesman goes out there, but he decides that he's not going to be rude. He's going to be nice. He's going to be kind to the man. And so he talks to him, and the man asks him a lot of questions about the cars, and he just patiently answered all of his questions. And finally, this country bumpkin, as they thought, says to him, so do y'all take cash or check? And the man said, well, we'll take either. He said, all right. He says, I want one of this model in every color you got. Elvis Presley bought 6 Cadillacs that day. Sometimes it pays to be nice. No, we are not nice because we're looking for a return from people. I'm telling you, it always pays to be nice because you reap what you sow. Amen. And so often, people justify their mistreatment of others or being mean or ugly to others by this. Well, they did this. Listen, you're going to reap what you sow, whether you think somebody deserved it or not, it's going to come back on you. But here's what I know, if we are merciful, then we'll reap mercy. Amen. He said, I'll have mercy on those who show mercy. Oh, how we need to remember, when we're kind to somebody, it's coming back to us. It doesn't matter if they deserve it or not, we should be kind to everybody. You know, in our culture today, being a kind person is not something that's highly thought of. I forget about being kind. It's who comes out on top. That's all that matters. That's the culture that we live in. This is one of the ways that our culture has departed from the principles of Scripture. See, we want to talk about these gross sins and how immoral Hollywood is. We don't even realize how much we've allowed the culture of the day to move us away from biblical principle. The Bible says in Proverbs 19:22, what is desired in a man is kindness. That's the way it's supposed to be. That kindness is a trait that is esteemed and something that's desired in people. Here's the thing I know about kindness. We always like the person who is kind to us. It may not be esteemed by our culture, but we always like the person who is kind to us. One of the kindest people I've ever known was our former pastor, Pastor Harold Nichols. He pastored the church for 50 years, and he was kind to everyone. It always just try to make life a little easier for you. It always have something kind to say. It just wasn't in him to say something ugly. It was the Holy Spirit in him. He just always had something encouraging, something uplifting to say to everyone. He was just kind that way. Now I want to tell you, kindness shows in our words. We've all been hurt by words before. We know how painful the wrong words can be. But you see, kindness, words spoken in kindness can bring healing and comfort and encouragement and just lift up the downcast. I'm telling you, words spoken in kindness make a difference. You see, that old nature, it likes to put people down. It likes to criticize. What it really is an attempt of the old nature to lift itself up in pride. And there's so much of this going on in our culture. This is not who we are, church. No, we use our words to encourage, to build up. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:29, don't let any corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. That's the way it's supposed to be. We speak kind things, things that build up and lift up. Mother's Day today, it's appropriate. Proverbs 31 describes a godly woman. And in verse 26, it says this, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She doesn't talk bad about people. She doesn't criticize. She doesn't put people down. No, on her tongue is the law of kindness. People today say, well, I'm just telling it like it is. Wrong spirit. Old nature. The new nature speaks with kindness. They say that people often will forget what you did, but they don't forget how you made them feel. Kindness makes the unattractive feel beautiful. Listen, anybody can tell the beautiful, hey, you're beautiful. But Jesus would make the unattractive feel beautiful. Amen. I believe that. Kindness makes those who have been rejected feel accepted. We've been accepted in the beloved. Kindness makes those who are condemned, like the woman caught in adultery, makes them feel forgiven. That's kindness. Kindness makes the weak feel strong. Kindness. It's love in action. It has to be more than just an attitude of the heart. It starts there, but it has to be carried out. Kindness has to get out somehow. Kindness can be buying someone's dinner. It can be bandaging a wound, Mom. Kindness can be consoling someone who's hurting. Kindness is when someone asks you to help them with their phone. They don't know how to work their phone. And instead of rolling your eyes or making some comment, you know, or even thinking, you know, that attitude that, hey, any idiot can do this. That instead, you say, yeah, there was a time I didn't know how to do that. That's true. Or maybe even, yeah, that's pretty hard to do. I think I can show you, you know, let me try. Oh, it's just so much in the attitude and the kindness of your words and the way that you say, the way that you deal with people. And I tell you, this is the way that we're supposed to be, is we're supposed to be kind all the time. Kind to everyone. Amen. You know, when somebody helps you with a task that maybe you dreaded. I know Carmen and I have moved so many times. She says we're done, but you never know. But when we've moved, there's been many times when somebody volunteered just to help us. Why? Just kind. There's so many ways we can be kind to people if we're willing to be used of God that way. Theologian William Barclay once said, more people have been brought into church by the kindness of real Christian love than by all the theological arguments in the world. Not many people come to church because you out-argued them. No, but lots of people come when that door is open because of kindness. You know, the Spirit produces this kindness in us, and it's one of the most effective ways of sharing our faith is when we're kind to someone, it gives us the opportunity to share with them. I've been around some so-called Christians who were rude and harsh and hurtful and uncaring about the needs or feelings of others. And, you know, without the Holy Spirit living in us, religion will just make you mean. But when the Holy Spirit really is ruling in our life, then He makes us kind to people, even people that don't deserve it. I had a young minister friend some years ago. He was pastoring a real small church in rural Oklahoma, and the economy there was not very good, and the church was very tiny, and they just couldn't hardly pay him anything. And he met with a much more successful pastor one day. And that pastor said, "So how's it going in your little church?" He said, "Well, it's pretty hard. We just can't hardly make ends meet. And the church is doing the best they can, but they can't pay me very much." And this successful man that was well thought of, he looked at him and he said, "Well, son, you just need to suck it up." Now, I want to tell you, that did not help that young man. He didn't walk away from there strengthened and encouraged. He walked away from there resentful and angry. And I'm telling you that we have to be careful that we treat people with love and kindness the way we would want to be treated. And if we're truly spiritual, we'll be kind to people. You know, the Lord draws people with kindness. Why would we think we're going to win people by being harsh or by being judgmental or critical, telling them what they did wrong? No, we win people by being kind to people. Romans 2 and 4, the Apostle Paul is writing to those who were judging others. And this is what he says in verse 4 of Romans 2. He says, "Do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience?" Oh, there's a dirty word in there. Tolerance. That's right. Our God is tolerant with us. Every day he's tolerant with us. And patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you towards repentance. It is always the kindness of God that wins people. Amen. Draws people to repentance. Kindness restores. Kindness helps heal people. One young minister went with his seminary professor on a tour of a church. It was the mother church of the First Church of Christ Scientist in downtown Boston. And when they got there, an elderly lady took them on this tour, and they toured the first floor, showed them a lot of interesting things. And when they got to the organ, she started talking about their church doctrine. And how that in their church, they didn't believe in any kind of judgment in the afterlife. Well, the professor, he just very casually and kindly asked, "But ma'am, doesn't it say somewhere in the Bible that it's appointed once unto a man a time to die, and after that, the judgment?" The woman didn't answer the question. She just kind of nervously said, "Would y'all like to see the second floor?" And to that, the professor just simply said, "Well, we sure would, thank you." The younger minister kind of tugged on the professor's coat sleeve, and he said, "Sir, why didn't you go for it? Why didn't you just nail her? Why didn't you make her answer your question? That was a great opportunity for you to just show her." He said, "Well, that wouldn't have been very loving. That wouldn't have been very kind, would it?" The younger minister said that about 20 minutes later, his professor was sitting with that elderly woman, talking to her about the Lord Jesus. He had won her audience by his kindness. I'm telling you, it is the kindness of God that draws people. And this is who we as the Spirit-filled people are supposed to be, that we're kind. For me personally, I struggle sometimes to be kind simply because it takes time. Sometimes it's inconvenient, you know, to stop, help somebody on the side of the road, help somebody pick up the papers they drop in the hallway at school. But oh, how we need to learn to be kind and look for opportunities to be kind to people. There's just not enough of it. Most voice teachers try to teach their students to overpronounce their words. Because when you're singing, it may feel strange to pronounce your words real strongly, but if you don't, people can't tell what you're singing. They don't know, they don't hear all the words clearly. We all know this. It's so evidenced by the fact that a lot of us have learned songs wrong. It's been going on a really long time. It's pretty funny, but it even happens in church where people, you know, get the words wrong. I mean, it's a little easier now that we put them up on the screen and you can see them, but especially for many, many years, it wasn't that way. People thought they were singing one thing and they were singing something else. You know, that old precious hymn, In the Garden, how wonderful that song is. I love that song. And you get to the chorus and it's, and he walks with me, and he talks with me. Who's Andy? Yeah. One person thought that when they were singing, I've got peace like a river, they were saying, I've got peas in my liver. Yeah. And then it even happens with the new songs, you know. There's this song now, God is on the move, God is on the move. One person thought it was God is on the moon, God is on the moon. I'm just telling you, people get the words all mixed up when they can't. You got to overpronounce when you're singing. If anybody's going to be able to tell what you're singing, it may feel weird when you're doing it, but you have to do that or people can't understand what you're singing. And I'm telling you that the world is getting the wrong message from us. We need to overemphasize our kindness. You're not going to be too kind. You're not going to do too much. Go ahead and do it. Just be as kind as you can. Every day, look for opportunities and be kind to people. Amen. Because they're getting the wrong message. Right. Too often, Christians are pushy and abrasive and unkind. We need to go overboard with our kindness. Let the Holy Spirit use us to be kind to people. In the story of the Good Samaritan, Jesus tells us that there's a man that's robbed and beaten and left for dead. And a priest comes by, and then a Levite, and both of them passed by on the other side. Then finally a good Samaritan comes. This Samaritan, he helps the man. He goes out of his way to bind up his wounds and pay for his care. He takes care of him. And Jesus tells this story to illustrate what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. But I want you to see that it was expressed in kindness. And the priest and the Levite just ignored the man. It is not enough just to ignore. See, a lot of people think, well, as long as I don't do any bad, it's okay. No, it's not. We become just like the priest and the Levite when we ignore people. There are many of the great religions of history that taught, don't do to somebody else what you don't want done to you. Sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? But Jesus didn't teach just a negative, don't do this. Jesus taught, do to others what you would have them do to you. Amen. And it's not enough for us to just ignore people, but instead, we got to go out of our way, cross the road, to be kind to people. I think the priest and the Levite probably thought they were too important, too busy. But I'm sure that they would have made time if they'd have known it was going to be talked about for 2,000 years. And we would all like to do some great act of kindness. But what about the little things, the opportunities that present to us every single day? Abraham Lincoln, of course, was such a great man, a great president. What made him so great was not his brains or his brawn. It was his character, Christian character. In spite of a busy schedule, of course, any president would have, during the Civil War, he would visit the hospitals to cheer the wounded. On one occasion, he sat down with a young man who was about to pass from this life. And he said, "Is there anything that I can do for you?" The young man didn't even realize who it was that was speaking to him. But he said, "Could you write a letter to my mother for me?" The letter read, "My dearest mother, I was badly hurt while doing my duty and won't recover. Don't sorrow too much for me. May God bless you and Father. Kiss Mary and John for me." The young man was too weak to go on, and so Lincoln signed it for him and then added a postscript, "Written for your son by Abraham Lincoln." The young man then asked to see the letter, and he saw the postscript. He said, "Are you really the president?" He said, "Yes, I am." They said, "Is there anything else that I can do for you?" And the young man said, "I think it would help if you would just hold my hand until the end." And so President Abraham Lincoln held this young man's hand and spoke encouraging words to him until he passed. How does a busy president have the time to be kind when some of us think we're just too busy? I know for me personally, I have a hard time slowing down to be kind. It's too often I get that attitude, "I'm busy, man, get out of my way." Anybody else with me? I mean, you know what? I want to be kind. Here, I'm going to hold the door for you. Well, if you're going to walk that slow, just get it yourself. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I want to be kind, but let's do it quick. And how wrong we are when we think that we're so important, like the whole world's going to fall apart. Listen, if the president can do it, if Jesus can stop and slow down to be kind to people, why can't we? We just have to allow the Holy Spirit to have His way. He's not in a hurry. It's amazing how He can get us where we need to be, to do what we need to do, to say what we need to say on time, if we just allow Him to lead and guide us. I want to close with a story from 2 Samuel chapter 9. This is when David has become king in Israel. And the customary thing during this time was with, if there was a change in the family that was serving as king, then the new king would get rid of the previous king's family. All of them would be killed so that there wouldn't be any attempts to try to take back the throne. But David didn't do that. Instead, he wanted to demonstrate a special kindness to someone from the family of Saul, for Jonathan, his friend's sake. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, beginning from verse 1, it says, "Now David said, 'Is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?' And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. So when they had called him to David, the king said to him, 'Are you Ziba?' He said, 'At your service.' The king said to him, 'Is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?'" He wants to show him. See, David knew the kindness of God. And he himself as God's servant, he wants to show the kindness of God to someone. For Jonathan's sake, we read that in verse 1, to show him a kindness for Jonathan's sake. Jonathan had been David's best friend. And so they find a young man, a man named Mephibosheth. He is a cripple. He's a son of Jonathan. He's crippled and he has nothing. He's nobody, except he's a son of Jonathan. And they bring him before King David, and he is scared because he knows what the customary practice is. And at just a word, he would be put to death. And so he falls prostrate on the floor before King David. And David says to him in verse 7, he says, "Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually." He restored all this wealth, the wealth of a king. He restored it all to him. But then this amazing thing. This man has done nothing to deserve this kindness. Nothing. And he can do nothing for David in return. And David says, "You're going to eat at my table from now on." Who eats at your table? David says, "You're going to eat at my table from now on." I don't know if you realize it, but how our King has showed us the same kindness. We haven't earned it. We don't deserve it. He says, "You're going to eat at my table." This is what David did for Jonathan's sake. Who can we show kindness to for Christ's sake? Matthew 25, 35 and 36, Jesus says, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." In verse 40, he says, "I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." Who would you be kind to for Jesus' sake? It's when you are kind, he says, to the least, not the greatest, not the best, not the ones that deserve it the most, but to the least of these, he says, "You did it to me." There was a missionary who died in 1855. His name was Stephen Grillet. And nobody would have ever have heard of his name except for one paragraph that he wrote that's been quoted thousands of times. He wrote, "I shall pass through this world but once. Any good, therefore, that I can do, or any kindness that I can show to any human being, let me do it now. Let me not defer nor neglect, for I shall not pass this way again." And I tell you, as a child of God, each and every one of us, we have opportunities every day that will not be repeated. We just pass through once. So the best of our ability, for Christ's sake, just be kind. Make a difference in this world and make a difference in eternity simply by being kind. Oh, how God will use us if we just allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and show us how we can be kind to people. I want you to stand with me.